3:18. That's where we stopped last week. We shouldn't be too long tonight. And if you wonder what Bob is doing over here, we have this tape deck hooked up. We're just trying to figure out how to work it now. It takes some time to do it. He's not praying, but it wouldn't be a bad idea if he prayed. He ought to pray once in a while, don't you think? But he's checking that out, and that's why he's up there. 2 Corinthians 3:18. You'll remember we stopped last week by saying it's a growing process. And, of course, we looked at ultimate sanctification after this when we'll be just like Jesus Christ. But 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, here's the idea that we were looking at last week. First of all, there is what we would call past sanctification or experiential sanctification, the sanctification that happens the moment a believer becomes a believer, the moment a person gets saved. And so that is the first sanctification we looked at last week. Secondly is experiential sanctification, and that is the growing process of the Christian life. And verse number 18 tells us about the growing process and tells us that the Spirit of God changes us from glory to glory, and we behold our face in the glass of the glory of the Lord, and we're changed minute by minute, day by day, week by week. And that is progressive sanctification. And then we looked at ultimate sanctification. Tonight we're going to look at how can we be sanctified, who does the work, and then we're going to look at five facts about sanctification. But in verse number 18 it says we're changed into the same image from glory to glory. This simply means we grow in grace. That's experiential sanctification. Let's pray. Now, Father, I pray that you'd bless tonight in a real fashion, unusual fashion. Help us to learn. Help us to grow. I pray that you would work a great and mighty work. God, I yield myself to you the very best I know how. Lord, I ask that you would give me your power. Father, help me to teach your truth. In Jesus' precious name, I need you. I need clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Amen. All right, now, how can we be sanctified? How is this process done? First of all, there's the sanctification that happens when you get saved. You're set apart. Remember the word? Set apart. Set apart. Set apart for what? For use. Set apart from the devil's crown. For use. Set apart from going to hell to go to heaven. Set apart. Separated. Separated by the Spirit of God. So, initial sanctification, when you get saved. Experiential sanctification, a day-by-day growing process. Every Christian has to grow. And you'll grow until you see Jesus Christ, until he comes for you. And then thirdly, ultimate sanctification. I hear a ringing, Bob. We're going to have to do something about it, all right? Ultimate sanctification. That means we'll be changed completely. We'll be changed completely the minute the trumpet sounds and God brings us up to what I believe is the judgment seat of Christ. But how does this happen? Well, you know, there's a Trinity. And I believe sanctification is the work of a triune God. First of all, I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Sanctification is the work of a triune God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. We see that God the Father has a part in setting us apart. God the Father has a part in setting us apart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." The God of peace. "And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Of course, that's the tripart being of man. But the Bible says here that God the Father has a work in sanctification. He plans it. He chose you. He calls you. He sets you apart. That's God the Father's part. Now look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 26. God the Son also has a part in the work of sanctification. God the Son, Ephesians 5, 26. We find out that Jesus Christ gives life and he gives cleansing. Ephesians 5, 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse, talking about verse number 25. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ, God's Son, also loved the church, gave himself for it. And then it goes on to say, that he might set it apart. He does that work of sanctification. He gives life, and then he cleanses. Now, there's one other member of the Godhead, and that is the Holy Spirit. What about the Holy Spirit's part? Look at Romans chapter 15, verse number 16. Romans 15, 16. I believe people are confused about sanctification. It's very important. Last week, it was important that you listen. Tonight, it's important that you listen. Romans 15, verse number 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now, what was going on here? Paul was offering up the Gentiles. You know what he was doing? He was sacrificing. He was worshiping. Well, what part of worship is this? This is soul winning. Now, did you hear me? Don't be misled here. We worship not as we meet together only, but we worship 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Bible says we worship in spirit and in truth. Now, churches advertise, and even good churches, and I don't suppose there's anything wrong, but we don't advertise this way. They'll say, worship service begins. No. We may worship in our service some. We may sing praises to God. We may pray. But our worship begun the moment we got saved, and it never ends until we see Jesus face to face, and it won't end then except in this body. We'll worship God forever. And so we don't really have a worship service. We just meet. This is the church of the living God. And we are the body of Christ. And if you're saved here, you worship 24 hours a day. John 4:24, very plain about that. You worship in spirit and in truth. But what was Paul doing here? He says, this offering is sanctified. It's set apart. The Holy Spirit set it apart because he was offering the Gentiles to God. He was saying, God, here's another one I led to Christ. Here he is. It was an act of what? Tell me. It was an act of worship. He was worshiping, getting people saved. And so Romans 15, 16 tells us that God the Holy Spirit applies the benefits and sets us apart daily for God's use and changes us from glory to glory. Now, I want to give you five facts about sanctification. Five facts. And some of these sound so familiar to the other parts, and usually they go parallel to what we teach about every other week, because these five things take a part in most every word we've looked at. Number one, we're sanctified in Christ. Does that sound familiar? Well, sure, that is familiar, but it's true. We're sanctified in Christ. I guess we could say that is the sphere of our sanctification. We're set apart in Christ. Somebody says, well, we're set apart. That doesn't mean you're set outside somewhere to do what you want to do. God sets you apart in the bounds of the Lord Jesus Christ to do service to him. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, 2. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Everybody here tonight has something to do for Jesus Christ because God has a perfect will for your life. In 1 Corinthians 1, 2, we're sanctified in Christ. It says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, where? In Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or excuse me, of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So we're sanctified in Christ. The sphere of sanctification is Christ. Look at verse number 30 now, what we read for a text last week of chapter 1. It says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. And who is our sanctification? It says, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. There is no sanctification without Jesus Christ. Is it still ringing? Can y'all hear ringing still? I don't hear it now myself, but they hear it over here, Bob. You might as well just stay up here for a little while. Sanctification in Christ. These folks, they can't sleep tonight. So keep them awake. Right? That ringing's an alarm clock. It's your watch. Wake up. Okay. All right. So, number one, sanctified in Christ. Secondly, sanctified by. Now, I want you to grasp this one because it's all important. By the Word of God. By the Word of God. You're not equipped to serve until you begin to learn the Word of God. I didn't say you had to master it because I've never met one that has mastered it. And I don't care how many Bible scholars you talk to, everyone has a different opinion on so many different things. But God wrote it, and there's one right and a lot of wrongs in many cases. But God wants us to rightly divide the word of truth. And we're sanctified by the word of God. You know something? People who stand up and shout and scream and yell for Jesus, who never read the word of God, are phonies, hypocrites, because you're not sanctified apart from the word of God. This experiential sanctification, the word of God. John 17:17. I used to say this all the time, I haven't said it for a while, but you can't tell how much gas is in the tank by the toot of the horn. And you're sanctified by the word of God. Now Jesus prays for us, and I say us because he prays for all believers throughout the centuries, right? This is really the prayer of intercession. This is actually, technically speaking, this is the Lord's Prayer. He is praying to God. In the other section, what we call the Lord's Prayer, it's really the model prayer where he teaches us a guideline how to pray. But Jesus Christ is praying to God the Father here. It says in John 17:17, sanctify them through how? Thy truth. Thy word is what? True. How are we sanctified in our everyday living? What is the active agent? What is the channel of sanctification? Well, the Holy Spirit does the work, but the word of God is the seed that works in our lives. You cannot draw closer to Christ without reading the word of God, without studying the word of God. This is the what? The what of life. What's the Bible call it? The bread. The bread. You don't grow without sustenance. And this is the bread of God. Ephesians 5:26. The Bible says that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. W-O-R-D. And so sanctification comes through the word of God. The channel of sanctification, the blessings flow through the Bible. This is a holy book, and God has given us a copy for 1987. I have one right here. I hope you do too. Then, thirdly, sanctified by blood. The basis of the entire sanctification process. Hebrews 13:12. The basis of our sanctification. How can God set us apart? Because Jesus Christ shed his blood. You see, I hope you noticed by now, after about 26 weeks of doctrinal words, that every one of them includes the blood. You don't have anything without the blood. You don't have a Bible without the blood. You don't have Christianity without the blood. You don't have a church that's worth a dime without the blood. The blood will never lose its power. And it says in Hebrews 13:12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own what? You tell me. Blood suffered without the gate. Now, in verse number 13, this is just a sideline of what I'm trying to tell you tonight, but it says, all right, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, this idea of experiential sanctification, what is the basis of personal separation in our life? Why should we be different? Because of the blood. And that's what Jesus is applying here in Hebrews 13:12-13. He says, he sanctified us by his blood. He was outside the gate. He was separated. He was different. And he gave his blood for us. Why should we be different? Because that blood's important. We should be separated and different because of the blood. We ought to make a difference. Make a difference in our life because of the blood. The basis of sanctification. Then, fourthly, we're sanctified by the cross. Hebrews 10:10. It says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. What was the body of Christ offered? On Calvary, on the cross. And so we're sanctified by the cross. That was the place of sanctification. That's the place that made it all possible. That's why there's a fella putting crosses all over the state. I'm not sure what his background is, but I think his, at least his heart's in the right place. You've seen these crosses, they're blue and gold, and he set them all, I mean, they're all over the place. You can't go on any even side roads, it seems like. There's three crosses on a hill, and I understand he's trying to raise money to put lights on them all, where they'll light up at night. Yes? I disagree with him, but anyway, the thing of it is, the idea is the place of the skull. There's one of those crosses, three of them, one place, on Route 50, going to a barbecue, and it juts out on a rock, and it reminds me of Calvary. Every time I cross that place, every time I see it, it reminds me of the pictures I see of Golgotha. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was saved, that place became special. I'm serious about it. I know that it's not that place that saved me, but something about that place where Jesus Christ, and here's what I believe his blood dripped on that place. Now, I don't believe it's there now. I don't believe it's stabbed. I think God took it to heaven, and I believe that with all my heart. But here's what I'm saying. I'm saying there's something special about that place. That was the place that was like no other place on the face of the earth. That's where sanctification was made possible. That's where salvation was made possible. And so it's a special place. And the place of sanctification was at the cross. And then in Acts 26, verse number 18, the last scripture we'll look at until the next one. Acts chapter 26, verse number 18. Lester Roloff used to sing, if you purchase, I think it's on that tape, the Roloff Appreciation Tape, Living by Faith. He used to sing. That was his theme song most everywhere he went. He'd get up and, boy, he would beller it out. And he's such a bad singer, he sounded good because he believed what he said. And he'd get up there and he'd sing Living by Faith. And that's the key to the Christian life. What is faith? Faith is seeing something that's invisible. It's not talking about some supernatural vision. It's talking about the fact that the Word of God is true. And if you follow the Word of God by faith, maybe going against what human beings say is right and believing what God says. That's the way God wants us to live. Living by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Holy Spirit plays a big part in sanctification. Experiential sanctification, the blood, the cross of Calvary plays a big part, but it's not affected in our lives until we learn to walk by faith. And not another song in this entire book is more true to us as believers as trust and obey. The Bible says trust. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. And the song says trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Now, I've seen that more in the last 3 or 4 years than ever before. There is no other way to have complete and perfect peace in the Christian life. There is no other way but looking to Christ and trusting Him and having complete faith. Somebody says blind faith. Well, faith is not blind. Faith is like Abraham is described in Hebrews chapter 11. He was looking for that city that was invisible. And it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, let me say this. This is true. I've had this asked me 3 or 4 times in the last couple of days. That's why I'm thinking of it. You cannot worry and have faith at the same time. It's impossible. Faith cancels out worry completely, and worry cancels out faith completely. You can't do both. You can't jump that fence and ride that fence because it's impossible. If you're worrying, you don't have faith at that time. It may not be your lifestyle, but if you're worrying, you've lost faith. If you quit worrying, that means you've looked to Christ and He's given you faith. You can't do both. Now, some people try to sidestep it, but you can't do both. God wants us to live by faith. The process of Christian growth is a faith process. You have to trust. When you see something in the Word of God, understand, or I preach something you don't agree with, it's not a matter of trying to figure it all out. It's
Because some of the things you'll never figure out. I haven't figured them out. But when the Bible says it, you just take the code.
Well, I just don't think we're going to talk.
If God said it, if God said it, just take the code. Faith is just doing it, letting God bless the Lord, and then letting Him take care of the children. Giving is one area. Living is another area. You can't separate the two. Personal standards, that's another area. It's by faith. Most people want everything. And I think every Christian, I don't figure there's a preacher in town that encourages Christians to look it up for themselves and tell them to read the Bible for themselves and encourage them. If you don't understand, ask me. If you think I say something wrong, ask me. Come to me. I encourage that. Because I don't have a corner on the market. I'm just a Christian that's been called to lead, that's all. Let me tell you something. You cannot grow unless you're willing to step out. And if you stay in that little quagmire of what you think all your life, you're going to grow. Now, I don't know about you, but every person that, let's say, a person 10 years old and they've never grown past the size of the person, we call them what? Handicapped, or we call them things in the Bible. The Bible just tells them what? That's what Paul said. He said, I have to teach you the will and take you because you haven't accepted the will of God. You haven't stepped beyond that point. You cannot be sanctified without faith. When I talk about salvation, I don't even know what to say. You're sanctified through Christ. When I talk about the altar sanctification, because someday you'll grow, and someday you'll go to Jesus Christ. So we're talking about the growing process. Sanctification is by faith. And that is the means of sanctification. Acts 26, verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by what? Faith. That is in me. He had the faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Four times in the Word of God. Old Testament and New Testament. Just shall live by faith. Now, if you want to grow in grace, you have to have everything in place. You have to be saved by the blood. You have to have the Bible. You have to trust the Holy Spirit. But it takes faith to make it work. It takes faith. And God is not asking you something unreasonable because the way has already been cleared. Your faith in the unseen is not unknown to God because God knows exactly where it's headed. And God will lead you and guide you. So we're sanctified by faith. Now the Bible teaches in this word of sanctification, you have been set apart by God, to God, and for God. And what God wants for you is that your daily habit to meet up with what has already happened in your life. That's what He wants. That's a progressive sanctification. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, facts about sanctification, sanctified in Christ, sanctified by the Word of God, sanctified by blood, sanctified by the cross, sanctified by faith. How can we be sanctified? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit does the work. All three have a part in it. Three aspects of the believer sanctification. Positional sanctification. It happens the moment you get saved. Have you been set apart? Has God saved you? Have you looked to Him in simple childlike faith and said, God, please, save me? The majority of the people I know won't get saved because they can't figure it out. But it's not a matter of figuring out. It's a matter of faith. Faith. Have you been positionally sanctified? Are you saved? And then, experiential sanctification. Are you actively participating in the Lord's work? Are you growing in grace? Are you living by faith? Faith is not foolishness, by the way. God's given us a plan. He's given us a program. He says, trust and obey. And there is no other way. Are you growing in grace? And then thirdly, ultimate sanctification.
know, someday you'll be just like Jesus Christ. You'll see him as he is, and that's the blessedness of the Christian life. Are you saved? Are you growing? And are you longing to see Jesus Christ? Now, Father, I pray that you would bless and have your way tonight in our invitation. God, grant that you would capture the folks. Some folks here that maybe aren't saved, they need to get saved. I pray tonight they would come forward and trust you by faith. I pray that you capture the hearts of people that are here tonight not growing, not applying the Word of God, not growing experientially, not progressing in sanctification. I pray that tonight they would come to you and say, Lord, I want to grow. I want to trust and obey. Then, Father, we thank you for the promise that you'll be here soon. And Father, I can't think of a better day than today. We long for you to come. We look for the day we'll drop off this robe of sinful flesh. We'll have a body just like you. We'll live eternally forever with you, your Lord. We love you for that. Now, speak to hearts in Jesus' name with every head bowed.